Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. Joe McGuire with 5 minutes of courage. You go around the country talking about the ill effects, the bad impact that marijuana is having on America. You're from Colorado. You know what's happening there. And Illinois lawmakers are talking about making recreational marijuana legal here. Mm-hmm. Bad idea?
I think it's an extraordinarily bad idea. And for me, it's not because I have skin in the game as far as legalization goes, except the fact that I do have a son who's an addict, and that's important to me. He does not currently reside in Colorado. My point is that I saw Colorado voters completely lied to and now just shocked to see what they actually voted for. So I believe it's important to share the truth and to say, hey, this is what the law really says and this is what really happens and these are the real outcomes, rather than only listening to the people who are set to profit off of legalization. Because not only is it a one-sided story, but it's a one-sided story by people who are going to put that money in their pocket. So you're only going to hear what they want you to believe. And I don't think that's fair for voters. I don't think it's fair for citizens. I don't think it's fair for our kids.
Well, apparently, if this is going to come to Illinois, it won't be at the behest of the voters per se. It's going to go through lawmakers and the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. There's a real danger there, isn't there?
You bet there is. And you know, that's a tactic, because if you can put something out there that just sounds really good on paper, how many times have we seen that? This looks really good on paper, but then you add in the human factor and the reality of it, and you end up creating a disaster. And then we have to figure out how to clean that up. And that's what I'm hoping to help lawmakers in Illinois understand, is this sounds too good to be true, because it is. It's not the fix that you're looking for.
What we're hearing from the proponents is this is going to create a lot of jobs, bring in a lot of tax revenue. And yes, there are some social ramifications, but when everything weighs out, it's a positive.
Well, the reality of it on the actual factual side there is that the jobs that are created by the marijuana industry don't even equate to 1% of the workforce in the state of Colorado. We are creating a lot of unemployment because a lot of people are coming to Colorado, or employees who already exist in jobs are losing their jobs because they do not stay clean and sober to work safely. So you have those issues. You also have the fact that the tax revenue has been less than 0.7% of our entire state budget. But we are also not talking about the costs. So the costs in just emergency, marijuana-related emergency room visits, marijuana-related exposures to children, and roadside fatalities alone has been far beyond the income. I mean, wildly beyond. But you're not looking at those numbers side by side. So you're, in my opinion, you're hearing a lot of fairy tales that sound really, really good. But come and look and see what's actually happening, and then think again.
Well, is it worth it to have more emergency room visits, more fatalities on the roadways, et cetera?
Right. And those are the questions they need to be asking. What is youth addiction looking like right now in Colorado? In Colorado, we have seen sharp increases in all illicit drug use. We're now one of the highest in the nation for illicit drug use, for heroin drug use. Our opiates have increased, our alcohol consumption has increased, and our marijuana use is the highest in the nation. Is that what will help Illinois be productive and be a great state that Illinois wants to be?
But you're saying youth. We're being told this is going to only be for folks 21 and older.
Well, you know, we say that for a lot of things. We say that for alcohol. We say that for tobacco. But that's not what kids hear. What kids hear is, hey, our lawmakers said this is safe, so it's safe. And we can see, if you look at the SAMHSA website, SAMSHA.org, and you look at the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, you will see that our high school seniors in Colorado have a 28% use rate of marijuana. It's the highest in the nation, the highest it's ever been. Our kids are obviously not getting the message that it's not for them, and it's very easy for them to obtain because we allowed legal home grows. So if your parents can grow in the basement, you know, any adult that lives in your home can grow. There's nothing prohibiting a young person from getting access. And to kids, when you ask them, you tell them, hey, did you know this is only for people over 21? They will literally laugh at you because they think that's silly.
But we're told from the proponents that if recreational marijuana comes to Illinois, it's going to be highly regulated. But can they do that good a job to keep it out of the hands of kids, to keep it out of operating rooms, out of the hands of bus drivers, et cetera?
Just a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to tour a large marijuana grow facility in Denver, Colorado. And the tour was led by two agents from the Marijuana Enforcement Division. And they started out the tour by saying, this is impossible to regulate. There are too many laws. There's over 150 laws. There's too many facilities. There's over 3,000 facilities. We don't have the staff. We don't have the money. We don't have the capability to enforce all of these rules in every facility. So we do the best we can, and we rely on the industry to regulate itself. And then during the tour, the operator of the facility starts telling us all of the ways that the regulations don't work and are impossible. So when we're asked, is it possible to regulate, the most important question is, does regulation work? Because the proponents tell us it does. It hasn't worked for opiates. It hasn't worked for tobacco. It hasn't worked for alcohol. We've regulated ourselves out of no problem that we have in the U.S. And why do we think that marijuana will be any different? Colorado is proving that that is not the case.
And regulation is expensive. You've got to set up a new bureaucracy, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we have created the Marijuana Enforcement Division, and I asked the question, does marijuana pay for that? And the answer is no. It's coming out of our state general fund for the first 6 years, and then we'll create a plan to pay it back. But that's another, you know, set of millions of dollars that we're once again in the hole.
The proponents will make the argument, marijuana is not that much different from alcohol. We regulate alcohol, and we fine and ticket people who drink while driving. So what's the big difference?
Well, first of all, you can take you can drink an alcoholic beverage and not get drunk. People can have a glass of wine with dinner and not be drunk. You cannot ingest marijuana and not get high. So you use marijuana for the purpose of getting high, but not everybody uses alcohol to get drunk or inebriated or intoxicated. But also, you can't measure them the same way. Alcohol eliminates from the body very quickly. We know the approximate metabolization rates of it. Marijuana is highly variable, and it's highly individualized. We don't have any standards for it. We're not standardizing cannabis. Therefore, we're actually, with legalization, we're making it harder and harder to standardize it because we're allowing all of these derivative products and higher potencies. So it's getting more and more difficult for us to create any type of standard. It took us decades to create an alcohol standard. We're nowhere near close for marijuana. We're nowhere near a roadside test device, even though we're hearing that's imminent. The science just isn't there yet. So what we will eventually have is an oral fluid test. Most states don't allow oral fluid testing evidentially in court. So we have a long way to go. This is a bigger conversation, but the bottom line is they don't stand the same side by side, and making that comparison is really erroneous.
You recently spoke at an IFI-sponsored event to several state lawmakers in Springfield. And one of the things you brought up was what marijuana, recreational marijuana, is doing to your education system in Colorado. Can we expect that in Illinois too? Tell us about what's happening.
We were doing a really good job of lowering our high school dropout rates. Our attrition had been getting, you know, concerning in the mid to late 90s. We were doing a good job of correcting that. Now we're seeing dropout rates increase. We're seeing school expulsions went up. Now policies are being reversed on expelling for marijuana because the prevalence is so great. So we have teachers, school resource officers, and administrators who are trying to figure out, what do we do about this? It's a misdemeanor. It's a minor fine. You cannot just prosecute all of your students. Right now in Colorado, 28% of high school seniors say they use marijuana regularly, 28%. So, you know, this really is not a direction that we want to go in. We are number one in the nation for youth use, as I mentioned. So does Illinois want to go down that path? Where do you want your kids to go? Do you want them to be able to complete high school, to be able to get into college, to be able to complete college? All of those things are impacted by adolescent youth marijuana use, and it's concerning, and I would ask you to look more into that and make sure that you're fully aware of those repercussions.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Our conversation with Joe McGuire will continue after this.
Do you want a better education for your child? Consider Freedom Project Academy. Built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum, Freedom Project Academy provides more than 100 live online courses for students in kindergarten through high school. With live class instruction, teacher hours, recordings, assignments, quizzes, tests, grading, and transcripts, Freedom Project Academy is faithfully educating America. Request your free information packet today.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and my guest is Joe McGuire with 5 Minutes of Courage. Joe, why that name?
Well, marijuana is a very popular topic right now. It's the hot topic. And speaking out and saying these are the weaknesses, these are the drawbacks, these are the things that aren't working, that's not a popular thing to do. It's very counterculture right now. And I believe it takes a lot of courage to be the voice that speaks up and says, wait a minute, let's bring some common sense to the conversation. So I was talking to friends when I started being requested to go out and speak about this a lot. And I was saying, we were trying to figure out what to call it, and everyone said, it has to be something about courage. And my sister told me, anybody can change the world if they just have 5 minutes of courage. And there's a Maggie Kuhn quote that says, speak the truth even if your voice shakes. And I have to tell you, I've been in situations where the marijuana industry has been very angry with what I have to say. And I've been escorted out of city council meetings by law enforcement because they were worried about my safety. So I'm willing to loan a minute of courage to anybody who needs it to speak the truth and help us all understand the reality about legal marijuana.
What do you hear from city council members, state lawmakers, etc.?
What I hear is a lot of people who privately and behind closed doors say, of course this isn't a good idea, of course this isn't going to work, of course we're going to pay for it, but people want it, so we have to go with what the people say. But I also hear voters that say, this isn't what we thought it would be, and why isn't somebody doing something to fix this? So I don't think we're having very good back and forth communication. The reality of it is there is intense pressure on lawmakers by paid lobbyists to put legalized marijuana in place because of the promise of a lot of money. But the money goes to people who will profit from this. It goes to the people who are prepared to commercially grow and manufacture. The Drug Policy Alliance, the Marijuana Policy Project, and NORML, the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, they stand to profit off of use, not us. So our lawmakers need to be able to withstand that lobbying pressure, and the voters and the citizens need to have their voice heard and say, you know, I may not know how to articulate this, but something doesn't sound quite right. Let's slow down and get the answers and see what the truth is. Call your lawmaker and say no to legalization. The voice of the people has an impact. Use your voice, make the call, send an email, and say no to legalization in Illinois.
One of the surprises that you brought out in your conversation with Illinois state lawmakers was the fact the amount of homelessness has gone up in Colorado. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think that myself personally, I anticipated a little bit of this. I and others have been absolutely shocked at the amount that we're seeing. We are seeing tent cities in Denver, in Pueblo, Colorado, even in Colorado Springs, where I live, and we actually opted out of retail marijuana in our community, the homelessness is epidemic. Some shelters are saying 600% increase. It really is something that is tangible, it's visible, it's visceral. We have people who have burnt down structures because they're trying to have open fires to stay warm. We've had some of our public parks have been destroyed. You know, not to mention our social services organizations are overburdened. We don't know how to get our arms around this thing. And just one little thing that is an unintended consequence is that the Denver Visitors Bureau has stated that 49% of conference planners have said we will not come back to Denver. It's the smell, the crime, the garbage, and the aggressive homelessness. The people will come up and harass you for money and whatnot, and they said it's scary. So there are so many things that we're seeing as outcomes that were unexpected, and some outcomes we anticipated that are greater than we thought. So it's something to look into.
Well, Illinois lawmakers are going to be holding a series of public hearings over the next few months. What message would you give them?
I really want them to understand this is not just a little pot. It's not the pot of the 60s and 70s. The potencies are far greater than we ever anticipated. We've studied the impact of marijuana to adolescents and to motivation and all of these things, to the ability to complete tasks at 7 to 10% THC. We have product that is now 90 and 95% potent. We don't even know the impact that has on kids, much less adults, our working population. We're seeing increases in mental health diagnoses. So it's not just a little pot. This is something entirely different. It is chemically enhanced, chemically extracted. It's on par more with meth or heroin. So take a second look. Give it time to see what the true outcomes are in Colorado. Everybody's rushing to follow this, you know, quote, model. And our outcomes, if you read the Rocky Mountain HIDA report, our outcomes are devastating, but that is not what makes the news. That's not the popular thing to talk about. And so my 1 minute would be, it's not just a little pot. Please take time to look at the outcomes and consider the choices you're about to make. We've seen this hasn't worked with alcohol. This hasn't worked with tobacco, and yet we're going to layer another social issue. We lose $10 for every $1 of prevention that we put into alcohol and tobacco. For every dollar that we take in tax revenue, we lose $10. We're in the whole billions, I mean hundreds of billions of dollars with tobacco and alcohol, but we're going to follow right behind it with marijuana and not learn a lesson. That is tragic, in my opinion.
What should voters be telling their lawmakers about recreational marijuana, bringing it to Illinois?
Legalization is not the answer. Are there problems that need to be fixed? Yes, but there are other ways of solving these problems, but legalization is not it. And they really need to say legalization is not the solution. Someone asked me today, do we just turn a blind eye and look the other way, or do we legalize? Well, those aren't the only two choices. There are a lot of solutions in the middle that we can look at, other ways of controlling, other ways of doing prevention and education. legalization is not the answer. We can take lessons from countries like Sweden that have decriminalization, that have very good drug court programs, that pour the money into prevention and education and treatment, and we see people coming out of treatment successfully. A person who has successfully completed drug treatment contributes back the cost of that treatment into society when they have a full-time job within 3 years. So let's find other solutions for the drug problem rather than just increasing it.
I would think there is a role for churches and pastors and faith leaders to be playing in this debate about recreational marijuana in Illinois.
Absolutely. It is somewhat disheartening to me that I don't hear more from our faith-based communities. I think one of the reasons for that is people may not know what to say. So we need to be having the conversation. Look, this isn't just, it is not a political issue, even though it's being politicized. This is a matter of public health and safety. This is a matter of protecting our children. And if we want to get down to it, this is a moral issue. When you talk about what we're doing to our children, and there is a role for the faith community, and I believe that the faith community could stop this in its tracks. That to me is one of the solutions to this issue, is the church coming together and putting their arms around the community and working through these issues of addiction, of drug prevention and treatment, even mental health disorders. There's a role there. And, you know, I know it's a kind of a cliche saying these days of what would Jesus do, but really, let's ask ourselves, Christ among us would sit with those who are struggling with addiction, and we would work toward healing, right? Jesus didn't solve our problems when he walked on the earth, but he certainly helped people on that path toward healing, and they had to live with their issues. The woman at the well had to go out and live with her reputation. People on drugs don't know how to stop. It's, you know, you say just stop choosing to use that every day. They don't know how. And the church could wrap their arms around those people and walk with them through addiction, and we could make a difference and an impact. And I would love to be a part of that.
Joe McGuire, with 5 minutes of courage, how do folks connect with you? Maybe there's a pastor listening that says, hey, I need Joe McGuire to come to my church.
You bet. Joe@joemcguire.org. So it's joe@joemcguire.org.
Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.